We are blessed to have our speaker today. Sawyer Woodsmall is going to share the word with us. And Daryl, if you'll come up, Daryl's going to offer a word of a prayer and blessing on this. So.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you in this time, and we just pray that as we begin to continue our time of worship today by hearing the word, God, that you would just empower all the hearts in this room, and that you would empower Sawyer just to, no matter what's on that paper, God, to speak your message and to speak his heart and to just walk humbly before you and as he leads us into worship today. Thank you for your love and for your grace. Amen.
Let's welcome Sawyer.
All right, I'm on. How blessed we are to freely come and worship God. Amen. Yes, thank you. Here we are, toward the end of the school year. And I know it's a time of the year that's notorious for lots of homework, big projects. And it just seems like it's a season of stress. And I know that there's a lot of people here who have a lot on our plate as summer quickly approaches. Whether it's finding a job, finishing up schoolwork, deciding on whether or not you should even come back next semester. And I know for me, exactly 1 month from today, I am getting married. And woo! Yeah. All right. I like that. But as I'm going through this, I'm asking myself this question: what is God's purpose for me, and what is God's purpose for you? Whether that's finding a summer job or finishing up school the way you need to. But I tell you today that if you're in God's hands, you do not need to worry. Our scripture today comes from Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. This is part 4 of a sermon series called Preparation for Ministry. If you guys will join with me there in chapter 5, starting at verse 13 and going through 16. And in this passage, you see a purpose for us. Keep that in mind. Starting at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can freely come and worship you, Lord. And I pray that through this message, we all have open ears and open hearts to the message you have prepared, Lord. Speak through me. Help me to be your vessel, Lord, and to display what you have on our hearts, Lord. And I pray that you just guide us through this sermon and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we dissect to my main points, keep in mind that this is scripture that we should take with special reverence because it is Jesus' words and this was him pouring his heart out to others. All right? Keep that in mind. My first point here is we need to preserve our spiritual walk. The first part of verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. What does being the salt mean? If you have a meal and it's boring and bland, you add some salt. And suddenly, this little bit brings out the change in the meal. Suddenly, the meal tastes good. Salt is made to put into meals, not to be kept apart from it. Okay? You are the salt of the earth. This means that we're the ones that are called to bring light to this earth. Unfortunately, we live in a world full of darkness. And we need to be the light so that they might see Jesus through us, because you never know, like it was said, we may be the only Jesus that they see. Right? Amen? Good. That's why this is absolutely vital, guys. That we live pure and honest lives. And the fact that Christ can be glorified through us, that gives us purpose. The second part of verse 13 says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? We need to make sure we stay salty. we need to keep up with everything. And how do we maintain our spiritual walk? I mean, you've heard it over and over, be in your Bible in prayer, but it's absolutely vital that we do that, guys. We need to be active in our spiritual life. That way, we'll be ready for God to work through us, and we can adequately show the light to people in the dark world. The third part of verse 13. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You see the results of what it means to not maintain our spiritual life. And we also see the importance of prayer and scripture reading. You guys, never pass up an opportunity to pray. That's just a little side note. Prayer is a powerful thing. And I've seen it firsthand in my life, and I'm sure a lot of you have too. Never pass up an opportunity. And do you see this correlation here? How it's important for us to be salty. The salt used here in Scripture is like a means of being a preservative. And we need to keep in our spiritual life preserved through reading our Bibles and prayer, because we don't want to be good for anything, right? Or nothing. And what good is salt in a salt shaker? Get out of the salt shaker. Thank you. In the context of salt in Christianity, it's the salt that makes people thirsty for Christ. And that is what we have here. It's why we need to be salt of the world to make people thirsty for Christ. My second point is you are the light of the world. I've always been fascinated by this thought. Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus calls us to be light to the world. It's a partnership. He is the light of the world in the sense that he brings salvation to the world. We are light of the world in the sense that we bring his salvation to the world around us. Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." What does being the light mean? If you're walking down a dark road and you're feeling nervous and insecure about each step, when someone brings a little light to you, you right away feel safe and begin to enjoy the walk. Light is put into dark situations not to be kept apart from it. We are the light of the world to people who are walking in darkness. Isn't that an amazing thing? Doesn't that get you guys excited? And doesn't that give you purpose? Man, that's amazing that God chose us to be his servants so that we could reach this world and show light and mercy and grace and everything that Christ resembles and he has done for us as our Savior. I like this illustration here, city on a hill cannot be hidden. This means that we should be so radiant with the love of Christ that it should be flowing out of us and everyone can see that. And immediately know that there is something different about us. And not only that, but when people see us, they should see Christ in us. So that way, that we can show them the love that God has for us and them. We are his vessels, and we are going to be used by him. Doesn't that give you purpose? Verse 15 says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." We do not need to hide our light. You know that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Yeah, that's so important, guys. As elementary as that is so important. I like what my brother David Jaimes said in one of his sermons. When light comes into darkness, darkness has no other choice but to flee. That's why we need to be in the light, so that when we get there, they see our light, and that darkness flees. And if that doesn't get you excited, guys, I have no idea what to say, because we are called to be that light. We have a purpose. And we don't need to worry whether or not God has a purpose for us. Because I stand here today and tell you in complete honesty and sincerity that God has a purpose for you in your life today. If we seek first his kingdom, then he has the best interest for us. So I don't even need to ask the question if you have purpose, because you do. And you see why we don't need to worry. In Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34, it's what Sean preached in chapel. I'm going to go ahead and read that, because this is powerful, guys. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to this life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies in the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry if you don't have purpose, or you think you don't have purpose. Jesus loves you, and you bring praise and honor to his name here. You just did. And live in that purpose. When people see you, they see Christ. Does that give you purpose? I'm really hot. I'm sweating. My third point. Let your light shine. The first part of verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men. We are to shine in such a way that others will see the light in us and give glory and credit to God. And this should be true in every area of our lives. Let your light shine. Make it so when people see you, they do not notice what you were doing or why you were there, but that you are portraying the grace of Christ, because that is our mission, guys. Isn't that a great thing that we can be used and we can be his vessels? Doesn't that give you purpose? The second part of verse 16 says, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We need to always make sure that our good deeds do not exalt ourselves, but instead exalt our Father. Humility is an act that God treasures, so we need to make sure that we're staying humble in our lives. There's a quote by John Stott, and it says, we should not ask what is wrong with the world, for the diagnosis has already been given. Instead, we should ask what happened to the salt and light. Do you guys not see that we live in a world full of darkness? And there are billions of people searching for the light. They want a purpose, the same purpose that we already have. And they strive for having purpose. Why don't we? And I ask you, how can you worry about not having a job lined up? Because we already have a job to reach the dark world. How do we not see what Jesus has called us to do? We are the light of the world. And if we're not acting that, what is the point? What is our purpose? We need to make sure that we are living in the light by keeping in the light and showing the light of Christ to others. We need to love people. When Christians love people, their lives improve. When Christians are generous, people's world improves. And when Christians share what we have, we are keeping Christ's command to love. Our purpose is to love all and reveal Christ's love to everyone. Has anyone here heard of, I know some of you have, K.P. Yohannan? Show of hands. Oh, yeah. Have any of you guys seen the video Following Christ's Footsteps? All right. Well, not very much, but I'm going to have Casey go ahead and show that video, and then I'll come back up right after.
But I'm here to tell you that the call of Christ is not just to be informed, but do something about it. I mean, you are bombarded with information. You get enough spiritual information in 1 week that over in China and India, people don't get in 5 years. How blessed we are. But let's not fool ourselves because you got people coming here, large numbers, you got nice building. Let's not fool ourselves. That don't mean we are impacting the world. Nearly 3 billion people live on planet Earth that never heard the name Jesus. I tell you what, many years ago, I went through a crisis in my life. The crisis was this. I wish I could believe there is no hell because I was so getting desperate. If hell is real, I must do something more than what I was doing with my life. But I tell you what, I went to the Bible, just like you read, and came to the conclusion hell is real. There is a place, and hell is not for a vacation for 2 years, 10 years, like you put prisoners for murdering for 10 years, 20 years. No, sir. Hell is forever. And after 10 billion, trillion years, those in hell will scream, say, I want to die, I want to die. That's all. Not even for a drop of water. They just want to die. And the answer comes again and again and again. You shall never die. You will never die. That is the fate of multiplied billions on planet Earth. But how we need to realize we are heading toward eternity, and that is not 1,000 miles away from now. It is next minute. And Jesus lived like that. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He left this example. He suffered for you, leaving you an example that we should follow in his footsteps. The reason why we in America, with all the teaching, all the music, all the stuff going on, our lives are shallow, still struggling with sin, and struggle in our private thought life with things that you know not pleasing God, and the lack of victory in your life, lack of authority of God in your life, seeking to please men rather than God. Ever so busy, we cannot be quiet. In the car, in the shower, in the room, everywhere you go, we have to be kept busy because we are a restless people. Why is it? Why is it? It is simply because we do not want to accept the cross of Christ into our life. Cross means self-denial, giving up our own wishes and dreams for the sake of the cross, for the sake of Calvary. And that's what we are missing here. That's the reason with all the stuff, we miss so much of reality. When will we learn? What does it take for us to learn? Call a Christ for us is, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. You are my hand, you are my leg, you are my eyes, you are my ears, you are my tears, you are mine. Go into the world and touch the poor, the needy, the lepers, the dying, and the hurting, and the ones going to hell, and grab them and rescue them. That is the call of Christ. The call of Christ is to die, not to live. You must, by the grace of God, make a decision that, Lord, I want approval from you and no one else. So much of Christian work originates in the flesh and carnality. Lord, I only want your approval. I know those are strong words. Unless you are sensitive to the Lord, you can easily misunderstand. We have a problem in America, in our church. We misunderstand obedience for legalism and bondage. I'm telling you, a day is soon coming, you will regret and repent. Too late it will be over the wasted life we spend for ourselves here. A world out there that did not know Jesus, and our priority number one must be, Lord, I love you. As a result of that, I give all to touch the lost world.
Always something about that video that really touches me, and that is the call of Christ is not to live but to die. 3 billion people, and Christ called us to be the light to reach them. Why are we caught up in all these legalistic things? Why are we caught up in whether or not we have a job. Why are we caught up if God has a purpose? Because he tells us right here that we have a purpose. I'd like to invite Matt and the worship team back up. And I want them to play this song. And as they're playing this song, I want you guys to reflect on what Christ has for you, what your purpose is, how we need to be the salt and the light. And after they're done playing this song, I'll come up and I'll close us in prayer.